Hi, I'm Rizwan. Welcome, friends, to Women's Voices on Planet FM 104.6 FM. We have with us today Theresa Liu, President of Play Center Movement and Community Development Worker with Asian Communities. She's also a postgraduate student for Social and Community Health. Welcome, Theresa. Welcome, Joan. Lovely having you.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you.
Theresa, can you tell us now what is this movement of Play Center and how it can be effective for refugees and migrant communities?
Okay. First of all, I just want to make a little bit of a correction. I'm the president of the Tamaki Play Center Association because there is a national federation national organization.
Thanks for that.
I'm not the president of that. Okay. Play Center is a early childhood facility, and we are unique to New Zealand because it's the only country in the world which has Play Center. And we began after the war. I'm just giving a little bit of history so you understand where we come from. Because in New Zealand in the late 1930s and early 1940s, people were feeling really devastated by the war and the depression that just come out of, and just thinking, how can we make this world a better place to live in? And they also thought there were a whole lot of studies coming out about young children and how it's really important to educate children from a young age, not just when they go to school. So there's a whole lot of energy with the women who were at home, mainly women at the time who were at home with the young children before they went to school, to see what can we do now before they go to school to get them ready to face school to begin with at that stage. And secondly, to teach them how to live in a peaceable fashion so that we don't want another war like the war we were going through then. How can we do a kind of education program where children can learn to play together peacefully, the adults can work together? And so what's unique about Play Center is it's an early childhood education facility where the parents stay with the children all through session. See, like, for example, people go to kindergarten, you drop your child off, you know, and you go away and you come and pick them up. And then there's a kindergarten teacher who will work with the children. In Play Center, we believe that parents are the best educators. They're the first educators. And any early childhood facility should be an extension of the home, not take the place of the home. So we thought it would be perfect if the parents would stay on session with their children. And in order to make it not just like a play group, yes, they play together, they do that at home too. So why is Play Center different? It's different because we actually have training for the parents. We provide them with free training. And currently, the Play Center training is accredited by the New Zealand Qualifications Authority, and it is a level 6 diploma in early childhood education. So our parents can do the training in the stages as they can, so they don't have to do the whole lot. They do the workshops. They have workshops at night, workshops on the weekends, workshops during the days, workshops on sessions, so the parents are hands-on. They don't have to do a lot of extra time outside with their children. So their work with the children is hands-on, or the assessment is based on very practical things they do, discussions with other parents, so that the parents understand about child education, so that when they play with their children in Play Center, they are delivering a really quality education. And we subscribe to the early childhood curriculum. And so two things, the children get a really good quality education. Secondly, the parents get a good education that after when the children leave Play Center, they can look for a career in the area. And we've got quite a few Play Center women who are doing that. And how is it good for recent immigrants and refugees is that because Play Center welcomes the family into center, we welcome families to stay. People can come and bring their children, the grandparents, the aunties, the uncles, to visit and play with their children. So that's perfectly wonderful. I mean, of course, what's happening now is because the centers are small, we have 25 children maximum. We say, you phone up, say you're coming so we can make a space for you. Because if everybody turns out on the same day, our license is for, say, 25 children. We don't want to make it so crowded that children have no space to play, whatever. And also, we want to make sure the families are welcome. So if you tell us that there are five of us coming, two aunties and a mother and two children. Then we'll tell, okay, maybe Monday is no good because that's a very full day. Maybe on Wednesday, like that. So you make sure you come at a time that we have time to talk to you, to tell you about Play Center, and that the children have the space. And we don't want visitors, excuse me, coming every day because then the children get distracted. So we need to make a time with you that suits you and suits us, and we come and play together. And Play Center is also into a policy of inclusion. So we want to cater for our diversity. We want to cater for all different cultural beliefs and so on. So because it's a parent cooperative, all members contribute to all the decisions. And if, for example, I'm a person from Asia and say I'm a Muslim woman from Malaysia and I'm joining a local play center, and I might want to talk to them about the food we eat, and we might suggest that other parents don't bring food that is not allowed in my culture, for example, so they don't bring pork. Okay. Or if they're Hindus in the center, they don't bring beef. And we do it in a cooperative way. So we talk to each other. And we're not saying, oh, I like beef, I have to have it. I mean, it's only 2.5 hours for a session. You know, you don't have to have beef. But we always work through it. And Play Center is wonderful. We listen to each other. We work together, because what's most important is for the time that we are together, especially on sessions, we want to show the children how adults can work together and respectfully make decisions that help each other. And we hope the children learn from this and role model peaceful kind of relationship. So new families come in and you meet new friends, New Zealand friends, you learn English and they learn your language, because some New Zealand place and the parents can sing songs in Burmese and Indian and Dutch and German, depending on all the members who are on the team. And also if you have any dietary, religious, any kind of issues, bring it up, talk to us. We are about inclusion, and we'll talk about it. And even we have some local groups like Nguyen Group, and we're looking at a Burmese group, trying to encourage them to set up a kind of early childhood facility, you know, like Play Center or not, it's up to them. But we really want to support these initiatives. If people want to have their own early childhood facility where their culture is empowered and valued, we totally say that's totally fine with us. In fact, that's what we're on about. And we will support you, you know, give you information about how to set up a center. If you want it to be a play center, you know, we will welcome you. If you don't want it to be a play center, you just want to have early childhood center where you can have your own language, talk to us and we'll tell you who to talk to in early childhood Ministry of Education.
What's the early childhood center you're talking about? I'm a little bit confused.
There's a Ministry of Education that will look after licensed centres, early childhood facilities. The Ministry of Early Childhood Development will fund playgroups that don't have a curriculum like we are set up as a licensed play centre. But if people are just getting together as a group of mothers and wanting to talk in their native tongue, for example, and not wanting to worry about the training and the qualifications and all the curriculum, then they can have a playgroup which will get funding from the early childhood development early child division, is it? I think they're now with ministry. I'm sorry, I have to get I think the Ministry of Education has that early childhood development unit. Yeah, that's what they are.
Okay.
If you have a license, what does that mean? You have to meet certain criteria?
That's right. In order to be a licensed player, you have to meet qualifications criteria. The Ministry of Education wants to make sure your children are getting quality education, that your educators are qualified, have the experience, and that you would do all these early childhood safety things. The minimum requirements are a safe building, and equipment is safe, and their practices are safe, and the children are safe. You know, that's why, so to be licensed, you have to do quite a lot more compliances. Yeah.
So there's a lot of emphasis on the safety.
Absolutely. Safety and quality, you know, and support. Mm.
So what are those compliances and issues that are required to start? What did you mean by that, Teresa?
Oh, well, I was really wanting to emphasize that to run a licensed early childhood group, like if you're having a play group, Even though you don't want to be licensed and you may not want to work for the qualifications of qualified teachers and so on, you still have to make sure that the area is safe, that the children, there are no hazards around, the poisons are locked up, for example. You need to make sure that any adult coming in contact with the children haven't got a record of child abuse or stuff like that. So if for play center, because we are licensed and chartered, we have to make sure that all our the staff who are paid to work with the children get police check, for example, and we have to attend basic CPR course and emergency care so that if anything happens during accidents or they get hurt, there's someone on session who knows how to deal with it, give first aid and so on and so forth. And issues around drinking water, the temperature of the tap, the food you eat, how you prepare food, all the hygiene stuff, all those regulations that the ministry has and the city council has, a licensed center has to comply with all those things. And enough space to run and play, you know, cleaning when you change babies, how you got to disinfect the pet, all those things. And also one of the main things that that we are concerned with is the children's safety. Parents in all licensed centers are not allowed to smack their children, for example. And this is a little bit issue we have with new immigrants and refugee families, because some cultures think that if you love your child, give them a smack, you know. And it's not a big deal, but you just want to make them to listen to you. But in New Zealand, we've got a culture of thinking, especially in early childhood, that there are other ways of disciplining children other than hitting them. And because, like I said, we started after the war because we wanted a peaceful community. So one of the first things we wanted to do is to teach our children how to resolve differences and conflicts in peaceful ways. So we give our parents intensive training in parenting skills, in child development, so they understand why their children are behaving. I mean, it's very normal for a two-year-old to kick the tantrum if you won't buy them the lollipop in the checkout. You don't have to smack them. There are other things you can do. So by training children and parents, we are teaching them the alternatives. And because all the adults on station are supposed to deal with children in a positive, loving manner, children then learn to feel safe around these adults, so they will go to other adults for help. Lots of immigrant families are very close-knit, so the children are very clingy to their parents. They don't like to go to strangers or whatever. If you come to play center, all the parents are trained how to interact with children. They get down on their knees and say, hello, you know, like that. Non-threatening, invite them to play, but if they want to come, that's fine. And they just make things interesting and inviting so the children will come and play. They don't force them. So, and children will just look and see, and they're, everyone is, and they see that the children aren't smacked. Because if a child sees another parent smack their own children, they actually get a bit frightened and they don't go to the adult. So in all places, and it's all early childhood places, children are never smacked, physically disciplined. You know?
So they are socially also, they get development
absolutely
of their social behavior.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
But especially in play center, the children are from 0 to 6. So people come with tiny babies who are just born. Even pregnant mothers come with the toddlers. And in some centers, children stay to 6 and after if they don't go to school. Like my children are homeschoolers, so they didn't go to school. They stay even later. So that we're teaching children not just playing with people, children in your own age group. They have to play with little babies, how to be gentle, how to be kind, have to take turns, and what to do when a five-year-old tried to boss you and you're 2 and a half. What do you do instead of biting, you know, instead of pushing them off the trolley? So because there's so many parents on session, like we have at least one parent to 3 children, and at the very least, one parent to 5 children. So there's lots of parents. So there's enough eyes and ears around to make sure that you can jump in before something happens, and children learn that you can't get away with being mean to other kids, because these parents, all the adults, will do exactly the same thing. Doesn't matter where you are, they will stop you and ask you to do something in a more peaceful manner. Mm-hmm. You know, so they learn in that environment not just to keep themselves safe, they keep other people safe, and they look out for other children too, because they know, oh, you can't do that, I'm going to tell so and so. So they learn.
That's,
you know,
like an extended family.
Exactly. And we think that play center is an extension of the home. So we call ourselves play center, where family and children grow together. And our logo is play center, a cooperative, whānau family experience. We totally want to involve the whole family, because we believe in the African proverb where they say it takes a whole village to raise a child. In play center, we totally believe that. We practice that.
Teresa, these parents who are trained, does this training, which is NZQA accredited, so is there any cost to that? Or is
no.
It?
If they're members of Play Center, it's free to them because the money we get from the government for running a license center, we don't spend on staff. But what we spend on resources of the children, really good equipment. We don't buy stuff that break easily and they're safe. So, and we spend a lot of money doing the training. So the money, instead of paying staff and all that, we use it to train our parents. We pay tutors and facilitators, so they get a little bit of money to do the training. And we think that parents pay for it by turning up. They help in the session. I mean, it's a cooperative. They have to do fundraising. They help to set up the session. End of the session, they help to tidy up. They sit on committees and help to run, you know, run the center. So they learn other skills like how to be a treasurer, how to be president, etc.
Yeah, so that is a sort of training for the parents, for the children, and they get their life skills.
Yes. Yep. And
how to live in New Zealand.
Yep. And also, of course, they have friendships, you know, making friends with New Zealanders and learning about each other. I mean, we've got a couple of centres, for example, one at Pakuranga Rahihi, where we have a whole lot of Chinese grandmothers. And they're now teaching, you know, Chinese New Year. They have celebrations. They teach them how to make Chinese food. Mm-hmm. And the local children learn to sing Chinese songs. And it's just fantastic. And we got these grandmothers who actually can't speak much English. But we go and help them to do. And then some of them finish course one. And some of them want to do course. They want to do more. And I wish you had more money to translate some of the words so they can do more. But some of them are so well qualified, you know. And we've got another center in Tui Road and Papatoi. In that center, we've got people from the Philippines, Asia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, India, Sri Lanka,
wow,
and China. So there's a huge multicultural thing. It's just fantastic. We love it.
And of course, it gives one an opportunity to make friends, which continues outside
exactly.
The Play Center.
Yeah, we have, you know, a Play Center. Like right now, my kids are out of school, so I have time to be president. Mm-hmm. Some of us still meet and so on. Our teenagers got together. A couple of our teenagers are dating each other, and we hope there'll be beautiful fruits from that relationship. But it is right. We go right up, and we now have relationships with people in the community, like Jenny Shipley, the ex-prime minister, was a Play Center person. And Judith Tizard and her mother, Kath Tizard, they were both, you know, Judith Tizard was a Play Center baby. And so we have all these connections. Was it Trevor Mallard? Steve Mahari, no, Richard. Trevor Mallard used to run carpentry workshops for dads in Play Center. And it's just, we have a special thing. And even now, after many, many years, we meet people in the community. And we know they're Play Center people. And Play Center people tend to be very passionate because it's a family thing. Your children know each other. The families know each other. And the children feel safe. So if someone's going on holiday, they want their children to, if they want to have a time out on their own without the children, what we do is get the children to stay at the Play Center family. And that's fantastic. And we go all through the country because Play Center is all through the country. I think last month I took a group of Burmese refugee families from Gleneagles, went on a trip to Waitangi, for example, and we had Play Center family. They welcome us. Even though lots of these Burmese families weren't in Play Center, but they welcome them because this is great, because Play Center believes in family, and they welcome them to the marae. So it's just fantastic. You know, you get lots of friends, lots of important networking.
Yeah, that's I've good. Noticed that when two women meet and they start talking and they find that they've both been in Play Center, there's immediately a bond.
Absolutely.
And a lot to talk about.
Exactly.
And so it's a very useful
It is.
Tool, perhaps.
It is very useful. And I think for new New Zealanders, it is a good way when you join Play Center and you find out how, as a group, just as a group of normal, you know, ordinary people, whether you're women, parents, dads, get together and you believe in something, you can make something work for you. Yeah. Because Play Center started with just a group of parents who wanted a better education. And they started a little group meeting in Christchurch. And then another little group in Wellington was interested. Another group in Auckland. And then they talk and they write letters and they make friends. And then it starts to grow. Now we have about 600 centres throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And we thought we'll organise ourselves together so we can be a stronger voice to lobby for recognition from government and so on. And we've been here like, you know, over 50 years. And so we understand how hard it is to start up and build something. And so we totally welcome these new New Zealanders, and we want to show them, share with them some of the things they can do to make the changes they want, to make New Zealand a place for them to live in.
So there is no need for them to feel lonely or to think there is no family there.
Exactly.
But how do they get in touch with the Play Centre movement?
Okay, if you look in the white pages in the telephone book under P for Play Centre, you'll see a whole lot of play centres. And if you live around West Auckland, you would then contact the Play Centre Association. They're called Te Akaranga, and there will be a number for the secretary, and you tell her where you live, and she tell you which is your closest play centre. Then you can go and visit them. If you live around South and East Auckland, you will contact our secretary, and her name is Marian Dawson. And her number is 577-3300. That's the office number. And she'll tell you which is the
lowest. Can we repeat it again, please?
577-3300. And that's the Tamaki Association. But then if you live in Auckland, Central Auckland, like Blockhouse Bay and those places, then you will contact the Auckland Association Secretary. And then there's one in North Shore. And there's another one in counties, which is Papakura, Bombay, Pukekohe. But look in the phone book white pages or... If you have internet, you can go to www.playcentre.org.nz. And if you go in there, you can find everything you want.
Thank you.
That's right.
Can they, like the women who want to work, they can leave their kids in Play Centre and go for work?
No, we actually believe that children learn best with their parents. So what happens is we require parents, a caregiver. I mean, we have people who have to work so they can't go, but they really love Play Centre. So they have a nanny, they employ a nanny and ask the nanny to go to Play Centre.
Or grandmothers.
Or they share. So we have women who are actually doing part-time work. So they say, well, I'll take your baby on Monday and Wednesday and you take mine on Tuesday and Thursday.
Swapping.
So the children get 4 days and the parents get 2 days to do whatever. If you're a full-time parent, it'll be more difficult because we have like our grannies come because their children work full-time. So they bring their children, like you say. And we've got an auntie who brings her niece and nephew with her own child because her sister has to work. So we work out this system, but it is really... Whoever is a caregiver, if the parents are working but they want the children to go to a place, as long as they have somebody who is happy to attend at least 2 sessions a week, then they're very, very welcome.
But sometimes the woman has a job and the man hasn't, and it's quite... People are quite happy for the man to come.
We love men, Joan, in Play
Centre. Oh, really?
We were just... my association had a strategic plan last week, and one of the 3-year goals, all the women said that they want more men at Play Centre. We had lots of men, and we now have grandfathers and a few uncles and parents, but there's not enough. Like, I can think of... currently, the last association meeting we had 2 men, and that was so fantastic because never have them. Children love men at Play Centre; they just jump on them, you know. We do have some men, but we would like more. And I think what you're saying is right, Joan. The dads come to Play Centre and they love it because these women make scones for them, and the children just love having the extra male around. Mm. It's really good for the children, you know.
I think in some cultures, men are not seen as carers of children.
No.
And we want to break that down.
Absolutely.
Because
in New Zealand, we say that, you know, men and women are actually equal. Mm-hmm. We can do, and if the woman has to go out to work and the dad's at home, that's great stuff to work with children. And then they recognize and appreciate what a great job their wives have been doing. Yeah.
I must confess, this is a new sort of thing for me.
Yeah.
Because I never thought males, fathers or grandfathers would be coming to Play Centre. For me, the concept was, you know, Play Centre, all right, mothers, grandmothers, aunties, whatever.
No, it is what we say, it is a cooperative whānau and families, and we've always welcomed men.
Wonderful.
It's just that men, and especially nowadays, when men feel really uncomfortable working with young children because of the big, you know, all the news about child abuse and so on, which is exactly why we want men to come to Play Centre, to show that children to feel good about men, and we really encourage men to train to be early childhood teachers.
So it's a completion of relationships.
That's right. It's a complete family. Yeah.
So can you just repeat again where they can find information?
If they look in the white pages in the telephone directory under P for Play Centre, and they'll find all the different associations and local centres, or the website.
And they can just ask somebody if they can come and visit.
Absolutely.
And that's
exactly.
Quite okay.
Yeah. If you phone up the centre and say, look, I heard about Play Centre. I'd like to visit you. What is a good day? And they will tell you and they'll find out your name. So on the day, someone will be there to welcome you.
And if they're not very comfortable in English, it doesn't really matter.
Just say to them, I don't speak English very well. We know how to smile. We can make you a cup of tea. And, you know, we understand about all that, you know.
Teresa, can you tell us what is the community development work you're doing in Glen Innes?
Okay. I'm actually currently at the University of Auckland. I'm completing a PhD, doctorate degree. And part of my research is working with Asian immigrants and refugees who live around Glen Innes in Auckland. And this project is on how to promote the health, well-being and quality of life of Asians who live in that area, because we acknowledge that people who are new to the country and so on, first of all, it's so difficult just to adjust to a new country, but to come to a community like Glen Innes, which is a very special community, because there's lots of high needs, you know, like low employment, crime rates and that kind of stuff that happens in that community. But there's fantastic opportunities and wonderful people there. So my thesis is about saying how to get the Asians who live there, who already feel they're new to the country, they may not speak their language very well, how to feel at home in a community like Glen Innes so that they can feel comfortable, safe there, and feel part that they belong and they know the other people. So we try to get interactions with the community to welcome the new people and the new people to actually start getting involved in community festivities and groups and so on. And talking to the different community groups I work with, what they need, what are their needs in terms of having a good quality of life and to be healthy. Because healthy is not just physical health. We were talking about mental health, social health, cultural health. How to feel safe as a Muslim woman, for example, wearing wrapped all around, walking around the street. Sometimes people say rude things and because they're ignorant. Mm. So we want to educate each other. So educate the host community about the different communities that live there and educate the new communities about the host community. How do you get along with the Maori Pacific Island Pākehā people who already live in the area with ourselves? So it's a two-way street, isn't it? We want them to understand us and respect our culture and how we are different. We also want to understand them and their culture so that, for example, when a group of foreigners get together, like Asian students in the Central Business District, and they speak in Chinese, some of the locals get upset because they say, you know, you should speak English, otherwise you shouldn't be here. Mm. But we're trying to educate them to say, when people come, like my Burmese families, they come in, they don't know many people. They don't speak English very well. It's very comforting to them to be able to speak in Burmese with local Burmese people. Mm. When they're feeling comfortable and safe in their Burmese group, then they say, okay, we'll, you know, make friends with our neighbor who is maybe Pacific Island, maybe Pākehā and so on. So they feel comfortable doing that because they know they've got Burmese friends they can go to for support. So the community development model is saying that when we have a healthy community, a resilient community, this happens when you have those different groups within the community are resilient and healthy and happy in themselves. Mm. And then when they get together, it becomes a strong group. You know, people talk about the melting pot. They say a good place to live in is all the races, all the cultures come together in a melting pot. See, I don't actually agree with that. I think it's like we need to make a good curry. So you actually have like good Burmese chunks of potato, good Pākehā lamb, good Māori kumara, good Chinese coriander. You know, like you have, it's a nice curry because when you eat it, you can eat the potato and the okra and you can eat the different, it's not just one big melting pot. So I think that's a model that I'm working on, that we need all the different groups to have their distinctive culture.
Flavor.
And, yes, their uniqueness. And together it makes a more interesting dish than your pureed melting pot.
Or a wonderful bouquet of flowers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's the other way to look at it. Because
each community has so much to offer. And in the Gleneagles, we are very privileged because the Gleneagles Maori, the Marae over there, is very welcoming of the new immigrants. And then we have lots of initiatives and projects going on, very exciting. And one of the current projects I'm involved with is Koko Grinatahi. And we want to have a group together to start to build pathways for local people, for employment, for enterprise, and for training. And this will benefit everyone, including the Burmese, my Burmese families, Asian families, Indian families living there, all of them. So my project is how to get us to work together like that in collaborations.
Well, we should send you to United Nations.
Oh, fantastic. You know, if you put in a good word, John, I'm sure I won't say no.
Okay. All the best for that.
Thank you very much, Rizwan. So
what are the main issues that you've found with the refugee groups?
Yeah, I think one of the main things is, you know, how to find their feet, really, to feel okay about being here. Like, we talk about how long does it take before we stop talking about them being refugees? Mm. You know, it's a real issue. I've got a couple of families who are so excited because they recently, you know, got made citizens. It's very exciting for them. And I sort of feel, even now we still talk, we go to meetings in Auckland City and so on, we talk about refugee network meetings and so on, which is all very well because I think we do a really good service to provide for them. But at some stage, we need to think about what's another word for them, you know, instead of refugees, because they're refugees and they came here. Once they get their citizenship, whatever, do we stop? I mean, I think we stop talking about that. We say Burmese families, but some of them still call themselves refugees. So I think it's a thing of feeling, getting the group to feel comfortable about being New Zealanders. And when does that happen? Does that happen when you get your permanent residence? Does it happen when you get a citizenship? When does that happen? And also, we need to stop thinking that they're not like refugees. They're here now. They're New Zealanders. They're our people. And everything we think about, all our solutions, all our problems, all our policies, have to include all the New Zealanders, including these new New Zealanders.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. It's a both ways it should go.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think it also means if they stop identifying themselves
as
needing special...
Exactly.
Special...
Yes.
Whatever it is, because they're refugees.
Yeah.
I mean,
they do have special needs, you know. Yeah, and I think part of it is, I think what you're doing here is a wonderful thing. You know, having this program for refugee families who are in Auckland. I don't know how far this goes, to actually find resources, get information so they can get more connected and feel more at home. I think it's fantastic, and more of these initiatives, the better. You know.
I think one of the things is people said, we don't know what's out there.
Exactly.
We don't know what we're entitled to.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're trying to introduce them to people like you who have answers.
And, yes, love, we have some of the answers. There's a wonderful refugee network that happens in Auckland that meets once a month. Yes. I think, you know, if people can get to that, that's a good thing to do too.
I think their next meeting is in June.
Yes,
what's
in
the
June.
Refugee network?
Yeah. If you go to the website for Auckland City, I think they advertise there.
It's on the 9th of June.
9th of June.